Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor here. Welcome you out once again this week for a fantastic show. Excited to have you here. And again, excited to see the numbers keep growing. See more and more of you showing up, more of you talking about this and sharing it with your friends. And hey, keep it up. This is great stuff. And again, the whole point of this is creating freedom for you and freedom for those around you too. Hey, just a word from our sponsor here, American Homeowner Preservation. I know with our fellow guest, he actually knows these guys pretty well as well. But you know, if you're looking to make great returns and make a difference, especially where you can make a difference in people's lives, hey, I got to tell you that this is one awesome thing to take a look at. And these guys do a crowdfunding solution that helps address that mortgage crisis that's here in America today. They get people to buy those mortgages, become the lender, and you have an opportunity to take a part of that too. So you can start investing with as little as $100. And so if you want to check out that out and get more information, go to FundingAHP. That's funding as in AmericanHomeownerPreservation.com. Today, I want to welcome our guest here. This is a guy that I've actually been on his show and been introduced to and been very impressed with. Just an amazing guy, go-getter, brilliant man. This guy is by the name of Buck Joffrey. Now, Buck, by day, he's kind of like Batman. You know, by day, you know, this guy is a neurosurgeon, brilliant man. And by night, he's also a brilliant investor. You know, and this is something that he does actually almost more than he does as being a neurosurgeon. So I want to welcome you on because I want to have you guys really learn today about what it means to become an accredited investor. Like, how do you really create those passive income returns? Especially if you've got assets, oh my gosh, if you're not taking advantage of some of the stuff that's out there, if you're looking for something that's different, a different kind of solution, something that allows you to be able to do something that's out of the norm, that's out of the conventional crap of buying mutual funds, this is a show you've got to listen to. So hey, I want to welcome on Buck Joffrey. Welcome, Buck.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, Buck, tell them a little bit more about yourself. How'd you end up being where you are today?
Well, yeah, actually, so I started out in neurosurgery, right? And that was, but I realized quickly in my residency after a couple of years that I didn't like the hours. So I ended up doing a head and neck and then ultimately did a fellowship in plastic surgery. So I have training all over the place and I trained for a lot of years. 2008, I finished my training, and the day after residency, got married. We left for our honeymoon the following day, Puerto Vallarta, and on the way back, picked up a book from a dingy shop in Puerto Vallarta. It was called The Cashflow Quadrant. It was either Cashflow or this book with this long-haired guy with wavy hair and, you know, half naked on it. So I picked Cashflow Quadrant. And I didn't really have any idea who Robert Kiyosaki was, et cetera. I had the good fortune of meeting him last week, and it was great. But I had no idea who he was. But his book and his ideas and his paradigm shift just completely transformed me. And I went from being an academic, you know, surgeon to a raging entrepreneur. And took a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, but, you know, started about a fair number of business over the last 7 or 8 years. And I am a full-time investor and podcaster. So
that's awesome. Yeah, actually, Robert Kiyosaki just celebrated his 70th birthday last Saturday, didn't he? Last week.
He did. Did you see the picture with me?
I did. It actually inspired me to make a post about the whole launch of Rich Dad Poor Dad, which was exactly 20 years ago. It was on his 50th birthday he launched that book.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. Well, cool. So really you went for that freedom path, didn't you? Because, tell me more about your colleagues. I mean, those that you've worked with. Describe their life. Because most people think, oh, great, if you're a surgeon, if you're a doctor, you got to be amazing. You know, you probably have all the kind of freedom in the world. You know, what's the truth there?
It's a golden handcuffs. That's what you call it. So you leave residency and you're making, you know, nothing, right? You're working crazy hours. It comes out to minimum wage. I was in San Francisco, University of California, San Francisco, a very expensive city, obviously, and making about $50,000 in my last year of training, which was the highest paid part of the training. And I was broke. And you come out of it, and people come out of these residencies, and they immediately go into six-figure jobs, six-figure salary jobs. And, you know, they immediately shift their life to accommodate for the additional income. So, you know, it's, and it's not necessary. Listen, you can't blame them, right? You have the deferred time in your life where all your friends are out there, you know, making decent money, and you're in your 30s, et cetera. And finally you've got some money and you want to buy a decent car and maybe buy a house or something like that. But before you know it, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, you've effectively wiped out the additional income that you've got, and now the excess income that you've got, you have no idea what to do with it because you've never made money in your life. So you do what every other, you know, person does. You just give it over to somebody called a wealth manager or something like that, and then they go and initially take 3% right off the top, and you watch your money flatline for the next 30 years, or you die broke. I mean, that's what you do.
Right. You have a lot of money, but it's not doing crap for you, right?
No, exactly.
It's so true. Yeah, I've actually seen that. I've seen that with a lot of people. Some people that you and I have known, or people like them, where it's make great money, but still in the rat race. You know, you're still caught in that, and it's a shock to many people. And I know there's a lot of business owners here too, not just people that even work at a great W-2 income from their job, whether it be a doctor or whatnot, but even business owners that make great incomes and then they're still stuck. They went into business for freedom. They wanted to get themselves out of the rat race, so to speak, by controlling their own income, their own time, only to find out they basically bought themselves into a job. And really, they don't own a business. They just own a job.
Yeah. So, you know, Kiyosaki talked about this, you know, in Cashflow Quadrant, and he talked about it last week again, which, you know, the different parts of the quadrant, the E's, you know, the people who are W-2s, they're primarily people who really cling to the idea of security. Security is, it's funny though, because once you're on the business owner side of it, you realize there's not actually a whole lot of security. The only thing between the W-2 employee and reality is a veil that prevents them from seeing the P&L. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So they have no idea what's going on with the business, and that they interpret that as security. Whereas the self-employed people, they want independence, but they don't really, you know, they're not free, right? And they're the farthest from free of them all. They don't work. They don't get paid, right? Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, let's talk about that, because I love the topics that we've talked about with creative investing. You know, I know for us, like, it's not that creative because it's become more, I wouldn't say mainstream for us, but it's definitely more common, even though it's not mainstream for anybody else. And definitely want to talk about your experience there. But I know we want to focus towards accredited investors. So first and foremost, like, what is an accredited investor? Are they professional investors, or is it something different?
No, the accredited investor is a label, right? It's kind of like you're either an accredited investor or you're not. Sort of like you're either pregnant or not. You don't really have... and all it means is that it defines... The SEC defines you. It is somebody who makes $200,000 per year, $300,000 if you're filing jointly, or has a net worth of $1 million outside of a personal residence. And this, you know, this is a fairly outdated paradigm, I think, because the idea was, this is back in the days of, you know, after the Depression and stuff, that it somehow, if you made that much money, you were smarter than people who didn't, and therefore you could invest in more, you know, quote unquote, riskier things, private investments, et cetera. And there's also a class called a sophisticated investor, which has a nebulous definition. Basically, it's somebody who doesn't meet the criteria as an accredited investor, but who's had a fair amount of experience, you know, investing in you know, quote unquote alternative assets. So, yeah. So it's a definition.
Right. Exactly. So, awesome. So, and I know some people would actually fit that category. They're listening to the show right now. So like you said, they get better options. So what are some of those options that they can get?
Well, I think the big thing is that, you know, I think that most of America, 99.9% of America thinks that really that the way you're supposed to invest and the only way that you can invest is through the equity markets and stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And and what you find is that the uber rich generally make their money through private investments. They make right. investments in offerings that are being sponsored, and say maybe there's like a, you know, a skyscraper being built, and you know there's an opportunity to invest in that, or there's a, you know, or a big another apartment building, or say a hotel somewhere. I mean, that's how people are making real money. They're investing in tangible things that, you know, that are real, that don't, you know, fluctuate by 50% because of, some kind of strange thing happened overseas, and, you know, who knows why. I mean, you know, United's stock fell. You said, did you see that?
Yeah,
their capitalization went down by $1 billion because they dragged out a guy from his seat. Right. Yeah. I mean, so if you own United stock, you're like, what? Are you crazy? That doesn't happen when you own real things. Right. But it's hard to own real things unless you're a real, you know, if you're a real estate person and you go out and buy your own real estate. And that's great. I strongly advocate that. But there's a lot of really busy people out there who want to invest in ways that are tax advantaged, that are potentially more profitable, and you know, can take advantage of a lot of the tax laws and regulations by investing in private offerings as a limited partner. And those right. typically are what you know, the accredited investors get. There's a whole world. You know, this is the whole point, Chris. It's a here's my plug for my show. But my whole point of my show is to take the tools and the knowledge from this uber wealthy world that all, a lot of us have a suspicion that exists. Mm-hmm. Well, it does exist, right? But the good news is that a lot of those things are actually available to people who are not uber rich, but still are high paid professionals. And I'm trying to bring that down to their level and tell them about it.
That's, you know, that's, it's interesting because I remember for me, it was about 2006 when I kind of really started this journey. I mean, I was a financial advisor. I was a traditional kind of guy that you'd hear teach conventional crap of, you know, save for the long haul, you know, put in mutual funds or other kind of things similar to that. And what I realized is in 2006, when I left that, because I realized I couldn't teach something that didn't work anymore, I realized that pretty quickly there was lots of people, especially those that were millionaires, that would laugh to scorn, you know, buying really just paper assets, which is really all you're pretty much offered for the most part. Most people just offered paper assets, which means like you're saying stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of stuff. And really they viewed it. And now I view it the same way as really being the poor man's version of investing, the person that's going to get lackluster returns if they're lucky, you know, like yeah. you're saying, you know, you're going to get flat to very little returns for a lot of risk, you know, where these kind of things, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, granted, I mean, you can't make, everything's different. Every opportunity is different. You can't make claims, but I mean, you know, making 6 or 7% seems like a joke to a millionaire. You're like, why would I do that? That seems dumb.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's, that's sort of the, you know, it's the unfair advantage of the uber rich that, that I think if you dig deeply, and that's what I've been trying to do for the last several years, you can unearth a lot of these things and say, hey, I can do that too. And, you know, it's, you know, there's a reason why people have been investing in the equity markets and consider that mainstream. And, you know, it's because the banks advocate for that, right? That's how banks make money, and the banks ultimately control everything.
Yeah.
So, what's happened is that it is ingrained in us culturally. It's almost religion, right? It's like, it's a belief system that we grow up with. And, you know, maybe your parents are in, you know, they invested in stocks and bonds and, you know, and they had a financial manager, and so on and so forth. And they never did anything, quote unquote, risky. And so therefore, when you come out and even if you learn this stuff and you think, gosh, that sure, that makes sense. Everybody turns around and said, are you sure you want to do that? That sounds a little risky.
Right.
So it's almost, it is sort of analogous to being, you know, it's like religion, right? And you don't want to sin. You don't want to do something that you're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And if, even if it seems like it should be okay, well, you know, there's people telling you that it's not. So yeah, maybe they're right. Right. But then you look at the assets, right? Then you look at, say, an apartment building. Now I own, you know, some apartment buildings here in Chicago, and I think one of them is like 80 years old. So there, that is an apartment building that's been there for 80 years, and it's a business. Mm-hmm. Revenue comes in, expenses go out, the profit comes to the owner. That's a business, right?
Right.
And that business has been there for 80 years making money, and it's still there. How many businesses in America are in the stock market right now are 80 years old, you know?
Just the ones that don't pay you much.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's right.
But they call them alternative assets, though. I mean, right.
Yeah, alternative, which doesn't mean, you know, that's the thing I tell people all the time. Like, you know, just because something's unconventional doesn't mean it's risky or it's bad. In fact, in most cases, unconventional is usually better than the conventional. If you look at conventional society, conventional people in general, they're broke. They're flat out broke. No matter how much they have in their IRAs or 401ks, they're still not generating any real cash flow from it. It's not creating any real freedom. It's just a number on a piece of paper, but they're still trapped.
That's true.
So, I know you had a deal. I think this one's already been closed. I mean, but you've had deals like hotel deal in Belize, for example, right? Yeah, things like that.
I mean, it's still open. I closed one lot, and then we happened to get off a wait list and grab another one. But I mean, there's a luxury resort. I'm not allowed to say which brand it is, but it's a very well known luxury resort that we're buying fractional ownership into in Belize and an Ambergris Key. And so that's an opportunity again. That, you know, it's open to accredited investors. You know, the return profile is quite good, and you know, it's but you don't get to, you know, you don't often get to do those kinds of things by just you know, investing in the stock market and stuff like that. So
these are the kind of things you never hear about, really.
You don't hear about them, right? And that's why. You know, obviously I've got the investor club, which is part of, you know, my, my listeners who are accredited, can sign up for, and then they can see these kinds of potential deals and also get a lot of the information that I'm talking about that's typically not available to the general public.
Yeah. And they're awesome. I've actually seen some of those that come through, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I tell you, just by looking at some of the pictures and the beaches and the resorts there, I'm like, oh my gosh, man, I almost would buy the 2 weeks, for, you know, every week or every year or whatever it is, you know, for free.
Yeah. That hotel is phenomenal though. It is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
And that's the kind of place you do want a vacation to. You're like, yeah,
that's not, and you can see it. Like, right? I'd like to own part of this. Well, you can.
Exactly. It's not like those, you know, D grade properties you're buying in Detroit or something like that.
Right. Exactly. Bad. And Belize is neat too, because you think, well, you know, it's a hotel, and you know, you'd be investing in hotels. Well, first of all, in this hotel, the break even point, you know, for breaking even, it's like 10% occupancy. Mm-hmm. And the other thing with Belize and Ambergris Key is that there was in 2008, when everything went downhill very badly, there was only a 1% decrease in tourism. And I mean, that's better than the vast majority of, you know, multifamily markets. So
absolutely. Yeah. That's something that's not as affected by certain types of recessions as others, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. But what are the other kind of deals that people might see as an accredited investor?
Yeah.
What does it look like? And what kind of returns? I mean, I know, again, you don't guarantee anything, but what kind of returns have you seen?
Well, if it's not going to do, if it doesn't project a return double digits, I mean, I'm not really interested.
Yeah. Right?
So, So that's my general, guideline, I think, for things that we see come through. An investor club will have Some of the deals are my sponsored deals, things that I'm putting together. Some are from my network because, I have this, the other key point about the ultra wealthy and the uber wealthy is they invest with people whom they know, like, and trust. Mm. Right.
Yep.
And so being able to, be part of a network where at least when you look at a pro forma, you can believe it is very helpful.
Yes. Right?
Because a lot of people will show you stuff and you won't believe, you don't know if you can trust it or not. At least if you know the people and you trust them, you can look at it and say, this is what they truly believe is going to happen. So other types of deals, multifamily, certainly. So larger apartment buildings, we keep getting very close on, assets in Dallas, Fort Worth. We just lost a $17 million deal to a group of Chinese who didn't care about cash flow at all. So, so that's hard to compete with. So some of those things are tough right now because of cap rate compression.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. But we're not going to pay too much. So there's that. I've had people on my show who've, shown deals for ATM machines, not on my show, but on my investor club, mm-hmm. And also for mobile home park deals. Looks like I'm probably going to have some kind of a storage facility opportunity in the near future. So it's really a full spectrum of things that make sense. I love real estate and multifamily. That's what I understand. But if there's other opportunities, I want to put it out there because if I'm interested in investing, then others might be too. So
that's right. Awesome. And you mentioned your show, how would people be able to follow your show?
Yeah. So the podcast is Wealth Formula Podcast. And, you can also, the website's wealthformula.com. Obviously there's a, you can access the podcast from there or from iTunes. The website's got some information on it. It's got, we started something called the weekly wealth widget, which is basically handing out these little morsels of financial information to increase your IQ surely, but shortly, or whatever you want to say. You can sign up for a credit investor club there. And so, it's definitely worth checking out.
Awesome. Any final words of wisdom that you have, Buck?
Well, you listen to Chris Miles for sure. This guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah, no, actually, Chris, when you were on the show, it was a very, very popular show. A lot of people really enjoyed the content.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. That's what I like when great minds get together, right?
That's right.
Awesome. Well, Buck, I appreciate you being on. And everybody, follow the podcast. Really check it out. I'll tell you, Buck's got great information, great stuff, and especially if you're looking to go into that world of investing, whether you're a business owner, you're an employee, especially if you're an employee, if you're not looking to go to the business world, then the investor quadrant is the quadrant to look at, and that's an amazing show to follow and check out. That's, if anything, to expand your vision, broaden horizons, to see that there is so much more, and you'll start to have the perspective that Buck and I have, which is the typical mutual fund 401k crap is just a joke. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock of anybody who knows money, and you do not want to be there. So I'm just telling you, it's awesome. So check out this Wealth Formula Podcast. Buck, thank you so much. You've been awesome today.
Thank you, Chris.
Everybody else, thanks for joining us, and join us again next week as we come back and give you some more great stuff. So everybody, my fellow Ripplers, signing out. Have a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.